We read from the Word of God as we find it in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father. One of the rare times the Old Testament addresses God as Father. Forever and ever, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And Give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads, and worshipped the Lord and the King. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be the priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him, and all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries. May God bless our reading. The reason for the reading of this passage is because of the similarity of the words in David's blessing in verses 10, 11, and 12. Wherefore David blessed the Lord God, the Lord, before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the earth and in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. The occasion, of course, was David marveling at the willingness that had been given to him and to all of the people to contribute for the elements for the construction of the temple that Solomon was to build. And the similarity in the language, of course, is that which we find in the doxology portion of the prayer that our Lord teaches us to pray. How dost thou conclude thy prayer? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee. And that refers to the six petitions. All these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. We consider the conclusion of the prayer, but we do it from this perspective, that the wording, both of the doxology and the use of the Amen, are assurances. They give confidence to the child of God who prays this prayer that his prayer will be heard and answered. So first, we're going to consider the confidence that gives to us as it's found in the doxology. And then we'll consider the confidence that is given to us as it's found in that single little four-lettered word, amen. In the doxology, there's a solid confidence that we may have as we pray, not only the Lord's Prayer, but any other of our prayers. And it arises from what we know about God. One more time. The confidence that we may have, regardless of whether it's this prayer or others, that we will be heard and God will answer, arises from what we know about God. The doxology makes us focus on Him. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Let's look at those three elements. Kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. That emphasizes that God is king. God is king. And as king, what we're saying about him is that he has authority. Authority is the right to rule. When we were little kids and they were doing some constructions in our neighborhood, and the dozer had dug the hole and made piles of dirt. Or in the winter, when the snow plows came and they made their piles of icy snow, then especially the boys wanted to play king on the mountain. And we'd try to get up on top and knock everybody else off and then have time to shout, "I'm king on the mountain." And usually, the biggest, strongest, the quickest was king on the mountain most of the time. His ability to be king on that little tiny hill of snow or dirt was because he was stronger or quicker. There are, in the history of the world, those who are in positions of authority because they're the strongest, they're the giants, or they're the smartest or the wittiest, and they know how to get themselves into those positions. But to be in those positions does not necessarily mean you're there because you've been put there by God. You're not necessarily there because you are a king. You made yourself, but on the basis of your strength. So there are in the history of the world those that have put themselves in those positions, but they don't belong there. They've overthrown the rightful king because they were stronger or had a stronger army. When we say in our prayer, "Thine is the kingdom," we mean this: God is rightfully king. He has the right to be king. He has authority. Authority over us, authority over all. That was one of the reasons that we sang that fourth stanza. His hand guides the clouds in their courses, and the lightning flames forth at His will. Many of you might not remember old Mr. Don Lotterman, who was an elder here at the beginning of this congregation. He had a brother killed when he and that brother were struck by lightning. The lightning flames forth at his will. The wind and the rain, he releases his sovereign designs to fulfill. Not only over things in the realm of creation, but to ransom his people from bondage, great wonders and signs he displayed. He smote all the firstborn of Egypt, so that Pharaoh made haste and obeyed. God is king. He has the right to rule because he's creator and sustainer of all things. All the kingdoms of men are under his absolute control and guidance. All angels, good ones, fallen ones, every human, whether it's just a tiny little beginning, fertilized seed in the womb, or whether it's an aged person, all humans under God's authority. His is the kingdom, not will be. David was anointed king, but he had to wait a long time before he actually started the 40 years, first in Hebron and then in Jerusalem. He was king, but he wasn't in the position. God is. Thine is the kingdom. And at every single moment in the life of the child of God, we must say, God is king. The inability to find the collection plates. God is king. It wasn't a mistake. Maybe by a human, but not by God. And it was a test. How are you going to handle it? How are you going to respond to him? And so it is with everything. When we say, God is king, God's is the kingdom, we're recognizing his absolute authority in every part of our life. And we say and add, forever. He's not going to slip. He's not going to get too old. He's not going to die. He's not going to fail. It is forever. So that's why we say we have a confidence that our Father will answer our prayer. He has the authority so to do. And power. Power. Some men are in positions of authority, but they don't have the knowledge and the wisdom, and they don't have the strength of an army or of themselves personally to be able to do it. They're in a position of king, they have authority, but they don't have the power. God is authority, and God's is power. All power. To call him the Almighty is exactly to emphasize that very point. All power that's exercised by ants, all power that's exercised by angels, all power that's exercised by demons and the devil, all power is his. His power created, his power sustains, his power directs everything according to his determined will. God knows the end from the beginning, and he is merely fulfilling that which he planned. His power matches his authority. They go together, and they're both full. Nothing more can be added to what he has. He has it all. And when we see any human exercise authority for good or for evil, then just like David, how did he say it? Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly unto thee this sort? All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. We didn't give thee something that you didn't have. Thine it was. We gave back all that I am was given. That's why all that I am, I owe to thee. And it starts with, thy wisdom, Lord, hath fashioned me. And thy determination guides and controls me all through my life. It's all of thee, and it's all of thine. And again, thine is, and forever. So every event in his story is a demonstration of the power that belongs to God. And that includes Adam's fall. And that includes the sovereign determination of God that men with wicked hands and evil thoughts would crucify and slay his only begotten Son on the cross. It's all of him. And so, again, we may be confident. We may be confident when we pray. We're not praying to someone who is helpless. It just reminds us again of that beautiful verse at the end of Ephesians 3. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. His power is working in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You hear it? Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who's working in you to will, so you want to do what's right, and to do, so you're able to do what's right. So when you're all done, you can't take credit for doing anything that he gave you to do. All that we can do is with David bow. We are strangers before thee and sojourners. Our days on earth are a shadow, and there is none that stays forever. None abides. Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? All thanks and praise to him. And therefore, and again, Ephesians 3, 21. Now to him be glory, glory. So thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. Glory is literally a light, and it shines forth. It's the radiation that flows from the sun because of the fire. It's that which is displayed of God's greatness, the perfection that characterizes him in that name, God. God. God is full of glory, and his glory is that which radiates from him. What makes you all of a sudden stand up and clap in applause of something that you saw? What makes you amazed Maybe in a couple days, some of you might see some fabulous fireworks. And there's always some people who think that we're at the end, and there's always going to be more, but they want to start clapping right away because they're moved by what they saw. It draws it forth from them. Well, God is worthy of our thanks as his glory, the radiation of his perfections, is displayed. There's moments now when we see something happen and it's stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. Sometimes we're moved to silence. We don't know what to say. Sometimes we ooh and ah. Now listen. Thine is the glory. And how little do I stop and ooh and ah. How infrequently do I just want to praise him. But his glory, his is the glory all the time. How infrequently do we recognize it? But we're going to say, his is the glory. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. All that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted head above all. What a God. God's use of his authority, God's use of his power is always glorious. That means it's always good. It's always right. It's always true. So every event in our lives, some we can't see, we call them accidents. Some we have to really wait because it's a sudden death or a disease that debilitates or a relationship that we have to live with until we die. Thine is the glory. Every circumstance is organized and controlled for his glorification. And that all events and all circumstances are directed unto the glorification of our Father assures us that everything is directed to give him glory. And our good. The amazing nature of election is that God ties what's for his glory and what's for my good together. And again, just how it works. Once in a while, we get glimpses. Once in a while, we're able to see a bit. But what a day that will be when in the judgment day, he starts to show us everything that happened was just what had to be. All the sins committed, all the hurts, sins I committed and the hurts that I gave. You thought I was going to say all the sins you committed against me or that hurts that I felt. No. How all that I did and all that I experienced was perfectly right. Couldn't have been better. That's the way we have to recognize the glory of God. Now, the doxology is presented as the basis for the six petitions of the prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins and our debts. Lead us not into temptation. All of those six petitions are for thine, are on the basis of this doxology of praise to God, acknowledging him being so authoritative, so powerful, and so glorious is the reason why. And that word thine, for thine is, that little word thine immediately takes us back to the address with which we started the prayer. And we didn't start the prayer. Now, just imagine the difference. God, Almighty God. We didn't start the prayer that way. Thine is the kingdom, power, and glory. But we said, Our Father. That God is my Father. Our Father. So immediately, that majesty is tender and loving. And he's established a relationship that is unbreakable, where that majesty is my Father. Thine, Father, is all of this. And that shows us that he is willing and he is able truly to make all things work together for good and to assure us that nothing can separate us from that relationship. Height, depth, nothing in life and nothing in death. No power on earth is able to separate us from that relationship and the love that's implied in it. He that is for us is greater than any fear, than any addiction, than any danger, than any discouragement, than any threat. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, is with you with all of that majesty, authority, power, and glory. Now, it's because we're aware of that about him that we asked what we did. The knowledge of that majesty drove from us selfish requests. So when we did ask for things that God has not asked, told us to ask for them, we added, if it be thy will. We're going to trust the judgment that belongs to such majesty. We're going to bow and submit before that glory and let him determine what's best for us. So now we have to go one step further. It's not just the acknowledgement of his power, right to rule, and his glory that determines what we pray. It also determines how we live. Now that makes me think of how many times we prayed the Lord's Prayer and we really... The last time I prayed it, I was standing right here. And Jordan and Mary were right there. And some of you were there. Did I know what I was praying? Did you know what you were praying? Or did we just spit it out of memory? I've appreciated it a whole lot more when there's been soloists who have sang renditions of the Lord's Prayer, and they get to this doxology, and they belt it with power. And it's almost like the wind blows our hair back because of the wonder. What a God. No, what a Father. Perfect Father. We may be confident then. Now, if I just rattled it off, I'm not going to have the confidence. But if I knew what I was saying and asked, even as I was saying it, teach me, Lord. Teach me anew. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Confidence arises from the doxology. Confidence also arises from the amen. Amen. Listen carefully, is really a Hebrew word that is transliterated into the Greek. So you take each Hebrew letter and you put it in the parallel Greek letter, and then you go one step more and you put it into the English letter. Hebrew, Greek, English, transliterated. The letters are changed over into their parallel in the Greek and then in the English. And it means, some say, I agree. That's incorrect. It means true. Or even certain. True, certain. In the Old Testament, it indicates an agreement with what was said. And the most powerful example of that is found in the direction that Moses gave to the children of Israel when he said, now you're going to cross the Jordan River soon, and you're going to be circumcised, and then you're going to divide the tribes, the 12 other tribes other than Levi, into two groups, and you're going to put one on Mount Gerizim, one group, and the other six on Mount Ebal. And the Levites down below are going to speak, and they're going to say in a loud voice to all of the men of Israel, cursed is the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of a craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Altogether, true, certain. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or by his mother. Doesn't treat them with the honor that they are to have. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, amen. Over and over. So in the old dispensation, it indicated one's solemn agreement of the truth of the law. In the New Testament, it's used after certain declarations of blessings. It's used after declarations of praise. Amen. It's used after declarations of prayer. Jesus took the very same word and he used it to call attention to something that was extremely important. Everything he said was important. But he made a distinction when he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, amen and amen. Now pay attention. This is really important. Now we end our prayer with amen. The Heidelberg Catechism says, what doth the word amen signify? Amen signifies it shall truly and certainly be. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of him. Amen means I prayed sincerely. I didn't pray hypocritically. I didn't pray unthinkingly. I did not pray without sincerity. It means I strove to pray as the scriptures would teach me to pray. I prayed based on scripture. It means that I believe my prayer to be valid because it arises out of a desire to glorify my Father in heaven. Thirdly, my prayer is valid because it deserves to be answered for Jesus' sake, not mine. For Jesus' sake. Amen. It's valid because it's based on Scripture. It's valid because it arises out of the desire to glorify God, and it deserves to be answered. It's valid because it's for Jesus' sake. And again, how many times do we say amen? Now the children learn that's the time to open their eyes and unfold their hands, or to begin their little prayers. Okay, good. But keep teaching them by the way that you pray that it's sincere. Further, amen is our expressing the assurance that in spite of the weakness that characterizes our faith and our utterances, we know our Father and the relationship that he's established with us. We know him and that he will hear and answer. We know, this is what's meant by the wording of the catechism, we know that our prayer is more assuredly heard of God than what we desired when we said the words. And that's the reason, and the reason is because God finds the reason to answer our prayers in himself. What we mean by that is this. God finds the reason to answer that prayer because he's the God who made promises that he would hear and answer. So we're going to the promises of God found in his word that his ears are attentive to our cries. And we believe that that which he said to us is more powerful and valid than what we feel in our hearts about the biblicalness of our prayer. God is our Father, and his ability to hear exceeds ours. He is so able and so willing. Psalm 25, verse 3 says, he will not put to shame those who wait for him. No matter how childish, no matter how weak, no matter how simple that we may be in our prayer, we can say, amen. It's certain, as best as I know, it's true, but I know him, and he's Father. And unlike earthly fathers who sometimes are far away, and unlike earthly fathers who can be right there, but they're so distracted in their own thoughts, we have a Father who hears every cry. In fact, he hears every thought. What a Father. Amen. Bless thy word. Carry it, Father, with the truth of thy, with the power of thy Spirit, so that we may see every part that was biblical to be valid, to be a powerful a statement and a word of instruction and reason for thanks and praise to be given to thee. Given to thee now and every rest of every moment in the rest of our life, and then forever. Amen.